Near as possible, let's kneel in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning on a day that's been set aside to worship and to praise thee and to be taught about those things which you have caused prophets long ago to write down, that we might know of you and to understand the way that you would have us to live. And as our brother stands before us this day, I pray that you'll give Trevor those words that we need to hear and understand, that as we go through this service, your Spirit be here to lead and direct and keep us attentive to those things you would have us to hear. I pray that you'd bless those that are sick and the afflicted and those that are unable to be in attendance for our brother Dick and others like him, all those that are elderly. And for those who lack that desire to be amongst thy people, I pray that you touch their hearts to remembrance of the things that they know to be true and to have the courage to act upon them. I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen.
Well, I suppose the weather wants to keep us aware of what's going on outside, but you know, we can draw our attention in here and bask in the warmth that God will provide. But first of all, let's pick up the collection. So if my volunteers will step forward, we'll Well, once again, I wish to welcome each one of you here this morning. I'm happy to see your smiling faces and know that you're well. As we were singing the second song there, I was thinking, how shall I introduce our brother Trevor to each one of you, because I know that you know him. I've known him long enough that I can't remember the first time that we met, to be positive at least. I only remember going to his hilltop farm at one point and finding him to be a rather interesting fellow that had all kinds of ideas and projects and plans and wondered, how can he ever finish them all? Well, the truth is, he probably won't, because when he gets that bunch done, he'll start another group. But because of that association and understanding of one another, I tend to joke with him quite a little bit. And as he came in this morning, he noticed that there weren't any bulletins on the table back then. He says, what's the matter? Are you afraid people will leave when Sunday school's over if they know who's preaching? I assured him that you wouldn't do that, and I'm thankful to see that none of you left. But as I was reading this morning in the Book of Mormon back there in class, I, for some reason, rather found myself reading when maybe I should have been listening, but Enos was indicating that it was only through diligence of preaching to his people that he was able to keep them in a narrow way. And sometimes it came with very strong and very harsh words. In other words, scaring them to death, reminding them of eternity and reminding them of what it takes to get there. I have no idea what our brother will speak on this morning, but I know that his desire and his intent is that when he gets to heaven, he'll see all of you there. Brother Trevor.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And I kind of stayed up late last night thinking about what I was going to preach on today. And you know, I think about how I came into the Church of Christ, and I thought that today I would use some of those testimonies. And I want to start by reading a scripture in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the others undone. One of the things that attracted me to the Church of Christ is also one of the things that stifle us. We are in many ways like the scribes and the Pharisees. The letter of the law, and that what has prevented us from becoming apostate. It is one of our blessings, but it is also one thing that holds us back. We will fight over every dot on every I and every cross on every T. And I'm no different in many ways. I'm exactly the same way. I want to know what God says, that I not be deceived again as I have been before. the literal truth of the gospel. For there is a fine line between the weightier matters of the law and that law that was written in stone. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm going to start in the 17th verse. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Corrupt the word of God. We see many churches today that have corrupted the word of God. Many of you have sincere hearts. And I believe that's why you are here. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others' epistles of commendation to you, or by letter of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Our members, the people that we come in contact with. Well, I know that guy. I know what he stands for. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. You know, we write the laws and we say that we cannot do this. And sometimes we forget whose church this is. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Those are powerful words. Our sufficiency of God. I could stand up here and preach all day. And if God wasn't with me, it wouldn't make any difference. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That Spirit of God. How many people were born and raised in the church? Show your hands. Put them high. Probably half. How many joined the church later on? So probably about two-thirds of you were raised in the church. You know, in the time that I've been in the church, I've seen some changes in the church. They're slow and they're painful. And you know, and I see the wisdom in that. Because we've been so intent on doing everything the way that the scriptures are written. And I see the wisdom. Oh, Oh, we have sin in our midst. Don't think that we don't. And as a church, I don't think we've arrived for those true spiritual blessings. We still have a long ways to go. We have many issues in the church. And they go back many years. They go back many years. First Corinthians 14. Just go back a couple pages here. 33rd verse. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You know, I think about that. Why would he tell one person one thing and someone else something else? Because in many ways, that's what we want. Those issues. You know, last month, our conference, there were some things that happened to me. And, you know, I try to be very sincere about what I believe. And also what I tell people. And during conference, I was praying for four of my sisters. I was all day. I had made it a point of fasting and prayer, and I made sure that I prayed all day for my sisters. One was my sister Kate Malone and her baby. One was my sister Margaret Gill. One was my sister Edith Case. And one was my sister Janice Welsh. And during that conference, I have to work. And it had been a long winter. And I don't have that luxury of being able to take off time, usually during conference. But I had thought about my sisters and prayed about them. And my brother Smith Brickhouse was preaching that night. And the next day, the elders were supposed to meet down at the East Local to discuss a manifestation of the Spirit. And I'm sure some of you have seen that. Some of you may not have. But anyway, I'm going to read that. But because, and I hope this all ties in and makes sense to you. On the evening of 12/05/06, as I was preparing a sermon for the 12/19/06 service, I witnessed the following vision. I saw two images simultaneously before me. They were side by side. The first was a church building. It was clean and well maintained. There was nothing particularly spectacular about it. It was rather ordinary. Not much different than the many small community churches we frequently see. I did not recognize it as any particular local of the Church of Christ that I had seen. I could see through the windows that there were many people inside worshiping. At times they were kneeling, other times sitting, and other times holding songbooks. Although there was clearly activity inside, there was little activity outside. I could not hear anything from the church. Occasionally, someone would exit or enter the church, but otherwise, there was no activity outside. And this is, I'm sorry, by Glenn Orsted. As I watched storm clouds rolled overhead, the church was beat upon by wind, rain, lightning, and thunder, but stood unchanged. As I witnessed this image, beside it was an image of a large group of people. What I immediately noticed was the tremendous amount of activity and noise. People were walking about, talking and singing. I noticed that they appeared happy and were smiling. The storm also came upon them, and they were dispersed and went all different directions. They circled about, coming into the image and then exiting back out. As I watched the two images came together, the church did not change in design, but it did grow in size. Although the design of the church did not change, it was strikingly different. Now there was light emitting from the windows, and it appeared to glow or shine. I could now hear hymns being sung, and there were people going into and out of the church building. The storm clouds, which had been over and around the church, now rolled back. They were surrounding the church, but held at a distance. And then this is part of the interpretation at the bottom. All I saw was the vision. However, as I witnessed it, I believed that the church was representative of the Church of the United States. Rather solemn and quiet, but it was the foundation, the strength, and the backbone. It stood in the storms. The large group of people I felt were the converts of the world, whether the ones we are currently encountering in foreign lands, the House of Israel, both or others, yet in the future, I could not say. However, I felt that they could be the spark that ignites the fire of the gospel. They would be the enthusiasm and the zeal. Both parts were necessary. The church was the foundation, strength, and organization, but the fire of the Holy Spirit would come from this larger group, and the image was not complete until they were together. You know, at that conference, a friend of mine came back from Washington. He went to that conference, and I tried to explain to him that this is why we are the way that we are. And I see those purposes. How that we are that strength, that legalism in a lot of ways has kept us that way. You know, I had an experience myself, because when after that sermon that my brother Brickhouse preached, I went downstairs. And some of my brothers were down there, and they were discussing the sacrament. That they wanted to bring it before the people. And on the way home, and I just... God gives me some peace about certain things. And as I was praying for my sisters, I said to God, I must be so unrighteous to not care about that issue. And I continued to pray for my sisters. Next morning, I took my books. I knew I had to work. I just can't call up and say, oh, I can't make it. And it was, they said that there might be a shower, but, you know, for the most part, it was going to be clear. I get to work. I'm working for an hour or so, and it starts raining. I still kept on working. I thought, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be there. But on the way to work that day, and I've almost forgot the most important thing. On the way to work that day, I almost drove off the road. The Lord answered my prayer. He said to me, if you go to John 2, see, there's at the first miracle where I turned the water into wine. He says, was it water or was it wine? You know, God is amazing. And His wisdom is so much better than ours. And I had never thought of that scripture that way. And He said to me, He says, go to Moroni and look at the prayer over the wine. Bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink it. I change it. He said it is the issues that they want. The issues that we want. So how sincere are you about God's truth? Like I say, these go back a long ways. So it rained and they finally called off work. And so I got to the East Local at about 5 to 9. God's timing. And I wasn't going to share that testimony. Because I felt it was just for those people that were discussing that issue. Until one of my brothers got up and explained about the joy that these other people had that when he was spreading the gospel and how that they weren't encumbered by some of these things. And so I bore my testimony. And God gave me the words to say. Because in many instances, we are so rigid. I understand that. In many ways, I can be the same way. But I want, and I want you to understand that if this is not the Lord's church and we are not sincere about doing it His way, we will stay that way. You know what? You know, I've had many people that have said that we're too rigid. We judge, and we judge righteously. And I believe it's important because we have had to be that way. But we need to be led by that Spirit. And trying to explain that to people is a very difficult thing to do. I want to change gears a little bit. There are many people that I come in contact with that believe that they are saved, that they can go anywhere, and that it doesn't matter. And I ask them, I say, well, how do you base that? Oh, well, I'm a good person. I figure I can go to heaven. You know, I used to say the same thing. And then I started looking in the gospel. And I found that I was weighed in the balance and found wanting. You see, if we set our own standards, we can't help but win, because we judge ourselves by ourselves. Oh, I'm okay. But when we start looking in the standard that God puts before us, then we find that we're not doing so well. You know, I had that conversation with my neighbor one day. He was very quiet. You know, it is really easy to believe that we do everything right, when in many instances we don't. And so I would ask you to ask yourself, what standard do you adhere to? And if you say, well, I don't know the scriptures very well, but I'm okay, then you might want to look at God's standard a little closer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Trevor. 119 will be our closing song.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, I ask that you would go with us in our various directions and watch over and protect, that you'd bring us back together again at the appointed time and help us to recognize that we cannot write our own standard for the way that we conduct our lives, but rather that we must know what you have caused to be penned by those of old and be able to recognize our own shortcomings and make those changes that are necessary that we might have life eternal. Pray that you bless those that are sick as well and all our children in every place, and I ask it in Christ's name, amen.